Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Now, just to put this in context for everybody who's listening, God is talking to us about the difference between salvation and reward. Why? Because his word is that we should advance. And when you advance, you have to advance towards a goal. Now, that means there will be personal goals and corporate goals, and those things won't be contradictory. The personal goals will enable the corporate goal. He's been showing us that the reward is the crown. And we don't want to simply get to heaven. We want to receive the crown that, according to Scripture, is the reward for faithfulness, for perseverance in faithfulness. The reward is what you earn. Salvation is a gift. So we have received the gift and we're earning the reward. And we've been through many scriptures to show how that is the case. Now, what in scripture is to advance? The kingdom. The kingdom of God is advancing and forceful. Men. Now, that doesn't mean militant in the wrong way. It means that determined people are laying hold of it. Those that are not going to be distracted by anything else. We've seen that in order to advance and to fulfill God's purposes, we have to be a spiritual people, not a soulish people. That spiritual people are focused upon the Spirit, soulish people are still focused upon themselves. So to be disciples, we have to be a spiritual people, because disciples are those who deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow after Jesus. Now, if we look in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, you see, those who live as God's sons are happy to be led by God's Spirit. All God's purposes are going to be fulfilled through the Spirit, never through soulishness. God only owns that which he initiates. And everything he initiates by the Spirit. So the kingdom can only advance by the Spirit, because it is a spiritual kingdom. It's not a territorial kingdom. So those who are going to cause the kingdom to advance, those that God can use to cause the kingdom to advance, will be those who live as the sons of God. Because the sons of God want to be led by the Spirit of God. If we're living as sons, we don't want to do our own thing. We don't want to go our own way. We want to see the purposes of God fulfilled. Now, if you take with that another well-known scripture from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, let the kingdom of God and living in right relationship with God be your priorities. So it's good to use another version, because we can all just trip off, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will be added to you without even stopping to think what it means. But let the kingdom of heaven and living in right relationship with God be your priorities. If you're seeking them first, these are your priorities. So if the sons of God are those that want to be led by the Spirit of God, their priorities will be the kingdom of heaven, advancing the kingdom, and therefore living in right relationship with God. Because God cannot cause his kingdom to advance through those that are not in right relationship with him. Why is that? Because his kingdom is where he rules and reigns. Now, he rules and reigns by the Spirit, by what the Spirit of God does in leading his people, in enabling his people, in empowering his people, in bringing revelation to his people. So the kingdom of God can't advance without the Spirit. It can't advance without a spiritual people, which is why God has been saying to fulfill his purposes, he must have a spiritual people, not a soulish people. Now, we could spend a long time talking about soulishness and all the qualities of soulishness and why those things oppose God's purpose. They're not even neutral. They're actually opposing God's purpose. But that's not going to be very productive. What we want to do is to focus on what it means to be a spiritual people. Because if we live as a spiritual people, then we leave the soulishness behind. So there's no point in focusing on the problem. Let's focus on the answer. The problem, as far as God's purposes are concerned, is the soulishness of his people. The answer is for them to be a spiritual people. A people that are led by the Spirit, motivated by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, being obedient to the Spirit, seeing the life and the power of the Spirit manifested in their lives. Now, if that's what they do, then the kingdom will advance. Because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So there's never any disparity between the kingdom and the Spirit. The more the Holy Spirit is allowed to influence our lives and determine what it is we do, the more the kingdom will advance. Now, that's true for each of us personally. We enable the advancing of the kingdom by our obedience to the Spirit. It's paramountly true of us corporately. Only as any local manifestation of the body of Christ allows the Spirit of God to influence, to affect, to determine, really, the course of events in that congregation, in that local expression of the body, only as far as that takes place can that church actually cause the kingdom to advance. So we all have a responsibility to say no to any soulish activity that undermines the Spirit, but we all have this responsibility to seek first the kingdom, to let the kingdom of heaven and living in right relationship with God be our priorities. That means that's number one on the list of what you're doing with your life, the way you think, the decisions you make, the relationships that you have, the things that you actually do, the way you devote yourself to prayer and to meeting with God. The promise that goes with that, let me rephrase that, the reward that goes with that is that everything else will be added to you. That then everything else you need will be given you as well. You see, our God is a God of promise. And when you look at the promises of God, some are for immediate fulfillment. If we do certain things now, then certain things will result. Some have an eternal dimension to them. That if we do certain things now, then our reward will be great in heaven. Now, this is something that perhaps you've never done before. to put the two words promise and reward together. But you see, a promise is a reward. Because with nearly every promise in Scripture, there's a command. And the promise is the reward for obedience to the command. So it's a command to seek first the kingdom of God, to put righteousness first in our lives. That's a command. The promise is the reward. Then you will receive everything else that you need. So you would say that about a lot of scriptures that are very familiar to you. Give, command, and it will be given to you. Reward. Well, you can say it's a promise, yes, but it's a reward that only comes when you're obedient to the command to give. If you don't give, then you don't get the good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And we've already seen in the last days when I've been talking a lot about reward that most Christians don't like to think in these terms because it's not very popular in Christian circles. Because people think that it undermines justification by faith or receiving salvation by faith alone. But reward has got nothing to do with being saved. The reward is what is possible once you are saved. So the salvation is a gift of God by faith in Him, by the grace of God alone. You see, there are no rewards for the unsaved. A person can pour out their life, do all kinds of good works with soulish endeavor, but without salvation, there is no reward. Because we can do all kinds of things with our souls now. Christians don't have the the whole market on doing good works and works of compassion and all the rest. But the dimension that Christians can add to the good works is the activity of the Spirit. And for the activity of the Spirit, there is reward. Because actually the Spirit is what God does in and through His people. So the rewards come really from allowing the Spirit of God to work in our lives and through our lives and to do with us what He pleases. So just as the promises are both for now and for eternity, so there are rewards for now and there are rewards for eternity. This is a very present reward, that if the kingdom of heaven and living in right relationship with Him is our priority, then now everything else will be added to us. We will also enable the kingdom to advance. We will be living as sons of God, led by the Spirit of God. And we will be storing up for ourselves a rich reward in heaven. So there are immediate consequences and eternal consequences to obedience to the commands of God. Now, think about it. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is where Jesus Christ rules and reigns as head. Now, He can only reign where there is obedience. He cannot reign where there is disobedience. As soon as a believer is moving in disobedience to God's word, he is no longer allowing Jesus to reign in his life. Certainly not in those circumstances at that particular time. Jesus cannot reign through disobedience. But He can reign where there is obedience to His Spirit. And if there is obedience to His Spirit, then there will be obedience to the Word. Are we getting all this? Now, you see, we can sort of analyze the whole situation in the way that I am now and say, yes, well, we see how all these things therefore fit together, being a son of God, being led by the Spirit of God, seeking first the kingdom, letting Jesus Christ rule and reign in our lives, obeying his commands, believing the promises of God, having the reward now and having the reward later. We can see how it all fits together. And we can see that this is the truth, that this is the revelation that we have of God's purposes in the New Testament, but we've still got to put legs on the vision. We've still got to actually do the business day by day. It's not just a question of understanding, well, this is the purpose of God, and this is how he wants to outwork his purpose, and this is what we need to do. We've actually got to do it. Now, there's no revival without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's instrument of revival. And what happens in a time of revival? The kingdom advances, but advances in a quite spectacular way. Not simply because God is doing spectacular things, but because so many become involved in the kingdom advance that is taking place. The kingdom gets extended because many more unsaved people come to the Lord. Everything, virtually everything that happens becomes evangelistic by its very nature in a time of revival. Every believer becomes evangelistic because of what God is doing in and through him. It isn't that you try to evangelize. It's just that there's a dynamic of the Spirit that is operating in a person's life that enables them to have a much greater effect upon other people around than they would otherwise have. Now, that's because the rivers of living water are flowing out of them in a way that is beyond the norm in their experience. Which is why, of course, God wants to revive his people. And God wants revival much more than we do. And this whole concept of revival for a generation is dependent upon the very things that God is teaching us at this time. Because God will only give revival to a people that want to advance the kingdom. He will never send revival for the sake of having a revival. You know, lots of people want revival, pray for revival, because it sounds like a good idea to have revival. But God will only actually revive a people of intent. A people who really are so intent on seeing the kingdom advance, and they know they cannot do it in their own strength, that they are crying out to God for the dynamic of his Spirit that will enable that advance to take place in the way that will glorify the Lord. So you see, what God is really doing at present is talking to us all in kingdom faith about motivation. What motivates us? What motivation do we have? You see, to put the kingdom of God first, the kingdom of heaven first, as we see in Matthew 6, that's a motivation. You only do that if you're motivated to do that. You can know it's the right thing and yet not be motivated to do it. You can know that the kingdom of God should be the priority in your life, and yet you can go a whole day without thinking about the kingdom, without praying for the advance of the kingdom, without praying that everything in your life will be reflecting the sovereign rule and reign of Jesus Christ. Now, if we can go a whole day without even thinking about the kingdom, are we really seeking first the kingdom? Is that really our priority? if the decisions we make are not kingdom motivated, what other motivation do we have? What other intention is there that is actually in the place where the kingdom motivation is supposed to be? Now, coupled with this, Jesus says that we have to seek to live in right relationship with God. Not just to be in a position of righteousness. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the rule and reign of God being first in our lives and therefore living in right relationship with Him. Then everything else is added to us. Now, we know that God is addressing kingdom faith with this word because we still lack certain things that needed to be added to us in terms of experience. I'm talking at a corporate level now. Now, if everybody in kingdom faith was seeking first the kingdom and righteousness, then that wouldn't be true. And you could ask yourself, why does God leave us with certain particular needs? We always seem to be on the edge financially. Why? Because God is still saying you're not seeking first the kingdom and righteousness yet. Talking to us corporately. Now, if you're doing that in your personal life, you won't have any financial need. God will be supplying all you need. So it isn't that God wants to withhold or keep things tight or anything like that. What he's concerned about is motivation. And believe it or not, God understands human nature. And he knows that nothing motivates people more than need. Why does God allow people to be in need to sort out their motivation? Now, you see, your motivation can simply be to see the need met, in which case you pray for money or you pray for this or you pray for that, you pray for healing, you pray for whatever the need may be. And that can be marginally successful but doesn't really solve the problem. Because the promise is everything else will be added to you when the kingdom is your priority and when being in right relationship with God is your priority. But you see, are those really our priorities if we're not thinking kingdom, speaking kingdom, being motivated by the kingdom, if we can go a whole day without even considering the kingdom? Could you really say that's our priority? So, here we probably mention the kingdom every day because we're called kingdom faith. But that's not the same thing, is it? You can be part of kingdom faith without actually being concerned that today you're operating by kingdom faith, by the faith of the kingdom, or faith in God's kingdom purposes. So God is doing a work. There's a work in progress here. God has been leading us, all about crossing the Jordan into the promised land, taking possession, advancing. But what he's saying now is we've got to have an advancing mentality. Now, part of that advancing mentality he addressed a few weeks ago in pulling down the barriers, exercising authority. What authority? Authority of the kingdom. But you see, the more Jesus Christ is allowed to rule and reign in us, the more of that kingdom authority will be expressed in our lives, both personally and corporately. Is all this making sense to you? So now he's saying, right, now you've struck camp, you're on the move, you're advancing, you're pulling down the barriers that have impeded you. Now you've got to get your motivation right for the advance. Now you've got to sort out your thinking, your priorities. Because actually you're going to run. This is not going to be a casual walk. This is an advance where we will be running the race. And our objective is the prize. Right now, there's the immediate prize and there's the eternal prize. What is the eternal prize? It's the crown. We've seen that in Scripture, yes? Any of you that were at the conference last week and what we were hearing on Sunday. In Scripture, the prize is the crown. But what does the crown indicate? Reigning. You see, even in heaven, there will be those reigning with Christ and those under the reign of Christ. Now, the prize is to be part or one of those that is sharing in the reign of Christ. And as he establishes his perfect kingdom on earth, there you will have authority over cities. If you're one of those reigning with him, according to Jesus. However you understand that manifestation of the kingdom, we don't need to get into speculative theology this morning. But the crown signifies the authority to rule and reign. So who are going to get that crown? Those who in this life are exercising the authority to rule and reign. Who is going to do that? Those who seek first the kingdom. Those for whom the kingdom is a priority. Those who understand that God's purpose for us now is to rule and reign. So, that's an objective for each one of us personally. It's also the call of God upon kingdom faith. One of the marks of an apostolic work is that it is a governing church. See? But you can only govern if you're ruling and reigning. So in saying that we need to seek first, I'm just going to talk for a moment at the corporate level. If we talk about kingdom faith corporately, seeking first the kingdom, and being in right relationship with God, that's not just so that every bill will be paid and every need will be met, and that we'll see some more people getting healed and saved, but it's so that God's call upon kingdom faith to rule and reign in Him, or for Him to rule and reign through kingdom faith, that objective can be fulfilled. Therefore, kingdom faith be an instrument of revival for a generation. Turning the tide in a godless society. That can't happen unless the Spirit of God is so operating in and among us that we are enabled to rule and reign in the name of Jesus Christ. So you see, we have to learn to stand back and say, okay, God is saying this, this, and this to us now, but how does that fit into the grand scheme of things in God's purposes? We can see, therefore, that what he is saying now is absolutely crucial, that objective, that for which we pray and long, cannot happen without us responding to what he's saying now. Now, the enemy knows that. I preach in the NRC quite regularly. I haven't seen a spirit of restlessness like I saw there on Sunday morning. I addressed it right at the beginning because I could see this was the enemy, right, being concerned about what God is saying and doing at this time. Wanting to distract people. It was amazing when the sermon ended, you know, I don't know how many people got up to go to the loo. Never seen anything like it in a service. And I thought, well, what is going on? Oh, so some would have gone to get their kids, yes, but there was another restlessness. You know, it's just something you picked up in the spirit. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? You start to preach, and 3 or 4 minutes into the sermon, people start to get up to go to the loo. I mean, what's that about? What is that about? You can't say, well, you know, if people have got something wrong, or some bladder problem or something, then obviously it's sensible to sit at the back. They can slip out to the loo. But I don't want to make a big thing about it. I mean, the point is that the enemy is concerned about what God is saying at present. Because, you see, most Christians don't disturb the enemy. But as soon as they begin to rule and reign, the enemy is being defeated. As soon as the focus comes on the kingdom, you see, the focus is therefore on authority. And when the focus is on authority, the enemy is worried. Because we have been given authority over all the power of the evil one. And you have to understand that the enemy can seek to disturb people, make them restless. I was in a situation a few months ago. I was preaching, this was overseas somewhere. And there were some real issues in this church that needed to be addressed. Some quite serious things. And we'd been in a conference situation with people from other churches. And so, to a certain extent, you know, you can address those issues. But you know, when it comes to the Sunday morning and there's just the church there and not all the other people, that this is going to be a time when God wants to speak prophetically into the lives of the people. And it's quite a big church where I was preaching that Sunday morning. And just before the service began, the pastor said to me, oh, all the children are going to be in this morning. And I said, well, how many children? He said, oh, I can't remember the exact number, about 100 or so. And I thought, you know, your immediate reaction is, dear Lord, how can we really address this with all those children present? And I know, knowing the way the enemy works, I knew the very thing the enemy would want to do is to stir up the children to be a distraction from the adults and their parents especially being able to focus on the Word. So just quietly, I took authority over the children during the first part of the service. There wasn't a movement, a whimper, a sound, a distraction of any kind. And I didn't change the message to make it appropriate for children. But I just prayed there would be such a sense of God's presence that even the children would be gripped by his presence. And that's precisely what happens. But you see, if you're not alert, I didn't think to pray on Sunday morning before the message that there wouldn't be any distraction. But even later during the message, there were still some people standing up and moving out and moving about. The enemy is worried. Which is a good thing. So at least something has been accomplished. But what we have to do is not just to hear a message. Say, yeah, we're going to rule and reign with Jesus. Yeah, we're going to go for the crown. Yeah. But we've actually got to make sure the kingdom is our priority. That our focus is being in right relationship with God. That we are really being led by the Spirit of God as the sons of God. Are you there? We know it. But we have to do it. And that means that we bring everything under that sovereign rule and reign. Now, what does that mean? It means exactly what we've just read this morning, that the sons that we're living as sons of God, as those who belong to the kingdom, and we're happy to be led. By the Spirit of God. Now, if we're being led by the Spirit of God, who is in charge? Who's in control? I'm being personal now, not talking at the corporate level, but the personal level. If you're living as a son of God, led by the Spirit of God, who's in control? Well, you could say God never takes the control out of our lives. He never intervenes with the exercise of our free will. Yes! We know that. But actually, what is determining the decisions that we make with our will? The leading of the Holy Spirit, or this is what I think I would do, or this is what I decide to do. Now you see, within all that God has been saying, he's put it in the context of the body. He being the head of the body. And we saw, you know, the arms and hands and feet and so on, they don't stick out of the body. But they all have to, they don't stick out of the head. They're not part of the head in that sense. But they all have to be in right relationship with the head in order to function right. So if I move my hand about, something is happening up here in my brain, is being transmitted through the nervous system in my body to actually enable the muscles and whatever else to function that enables my hand to move. I'm no physiologist, but it's something like that. I don't understand how. Well, I don't understand much about how the body works, but I understand that it works. And I do understand that if things were not in right order and communication, that hand would not be able to move. The movement would be impaired, or even it would be paralyzed, impossible to move. When you look at it, you could sort of see, well, there's nothing wrong with the fingers, but it's not in right order. So every member of the body has to be responding, if we put it in these terms, responding to the impulses that are coming from the head. Now, put that in spiritual language, every member has to be led by the Spirit. And the body is moving ahead in the purposes of God, led by the Spirit, but within that, every member is in the right relationship with God, obeying the impulses of the Spirit to move ahead, to advance in the purposes of God. Now, here comes the motivation. Or what I believe God is wanting to address as a change of motivation. You see, in that whole process, people can have a survival mentality. Well, I'm surviving as a member of the body. And yes, you know, I pray and boom, 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 do this, that, and the other. And I've survived another week. And God has kept me going for another week. Now, there are people, Christians, that have that kind of survival mentality. There are others that they've gone beyond that, but you would have to say they have a casual mentality. They're not really proactive, but they will go along with whatever else is happening simply because it's happening. And being a part of the body, they don't have much alternative except to go along with it. Now, depending upon the degree of their casualness, that will determine to what extent or not they get involved with what is going on. But they accept that what is going on is going on, and they're part of the body where all this stuff is going on. So, people that are in that sort of band, if you like, of response to the Lord, some may come to the VIP meeting, some may not come to the prayer meeting. It won't necessarily be a priority, it won't necessarily be a motivation. I'll go if it's convenient. See, what we're talking about is motivation. Not just a survival mentality, not just a casual mentality, because neither of those, could you say, fulfilled this word to make the kingdom and being in right order, right relationship with Him, the priority. Now, there's another band before you get to that. It's the ought band. well, I ought to do this, and I ought to be at the prayer meeting, and I ought to, and I ought to, and I ought to, and I ought to. Well, that's better than the casual, which doesn't even think of responsibility. But you see, the ought mentality does not advance. That's not an advancing mentality. But what God is really challenging us all with now is having an advancing mentality. And if we're going to advance, then we want the purpose of God. We want the will of God. We want the kingdom to be first. We want everything to be in right order with God. We want to run to win the prize. We want to go for the crown. We want to see God's purposes for the body fulfilled. I mean, we want in the sense of, I'm putting everything in. Everything of my life, I'm putting in to this. I'm in. Count me in. Spirit, soul, and body. The whole lot. This is my reason for living. You see, what is your priority? Your reason for living. So your marriage isn't your reason for living. Your children aren't your reason for living. Your job isn't your reason for living. If you seek first the kingdom, your marriage will prosper, your children will prosper, your job will prosper, whether it's the Kingdom Faith or out there in the secular world. Why? Because everything will be added to you. Blessing for the marriage, blessing for the children, blessing for your job, blessing in all you do. Why? The motivation is first the kingdom. See, it's for that reason that I said to my wife when we got married, you must understand you will never be first in my life. And I don't want to be first in your life. If Jesus is first, then the kingdom is first. Just remember, Jesus said that the treasure is not Jesus, it's the kingdom. Because you see, people can love Jesus and still be casual. They can love Jesus and still not have the motivation of the kingdom in their lives. Or think they love Jesus. Jesus has a different idea. He says, well, if you love me, you will obey my commands. If you obey my commands, what is his command? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. That's a command. But that means we have the motivation to do that. So what is God doing at present? I would imagine that what God is beginning to do now and what he's going to be doing over this next season of time is sorting people's priorities out. Yeah,
very good.
Not just sorting their activities out, but sorting their priorities out.
Right.
Now that, of course, will have an impact upon their activities. Can you understand what I'm saying? But the activities are going to come out of a new sense of motivation. You know, I remember when we started the church, we had those 22 days of meetings in this room. And we would begin to pray. We prayed for an hour before the meeting. And therefore, you know, we probably started to pray up at 6 and the meeting started up at 7. And so people were coming from work. You would see them arrive. They'd be running down the corridor here to get in because they didn't want to miss anything. They didn't bother about a meal or anything like that. It was much more important to get to the meeting. What motivation? Because God was doing something. God was on the move. There was something exciting. Nobody wanted to miss anything. I will always remember the last of those 22 evenings in this. This room was absolutely packed, solid, with people waving flags, rejoicing, praising God. There was such a sense of the presence and the power of God in this room. But then something has to be happening to motivate people to meet for 22 evenings. I'm not saying everybody came to every evening, but every evening it was full in here. Remember, the church hadn't even started. We took the first people into membership at the end of those 22 days, 230 people. It's not a bad way to start a church. You don't have to go through the 20 barrier and the 50 barrier and the 100 barrier and the 150 barrier. Motivation. Now, it's no use looking back and saying, oh, if only we had the motivation. No, we don't want that motivation. That was motivation to start something. We need a different kind of motivation now, but we do need motivation. And we do need to see everybody motivated, not just the leadership and the team and the students. But there is a growing sense of excitement, of expectation in the whole church. You sense it, don't you? But you see, what I was so aware of, not only on Sunday, but since as I've been praying, is the enemy is also aware of this. And we're now, you know, we must not think that because we pulled some barriers down, the enemy is going to stop trying to resist what is happening. No unsettling. No distractions. No taking people out. No more of that. But keeping the whole body together in unity, moving ahead with a fresh motivation. Seek first the kingdom. That the kingdom will advance. It's not so much we who have to advance. It's the kingdom that has to advance. As we advance with that kingdom mentality, so the kingdom, that's God's purpose. You know, God didn't sort of write into the Bible, kingdom faith will advance. No, the kingdom will advance. Yes. But that's why we are kingdom faith. And this is just part of what God is going to be doing in this nation and beyond. In these coming years, there's going to be an advance of the king. My goodness, there needs to be. I mean, whatever happens in this election, we cannot go on having a government like this present one. We just cannot, because it is anti-God in its central thinking. Oh, there are some good Christians there, but the motivation, you see, the motivation is actually anti-spiritual, to promote a secularization of our society. We can't afford another 5 years of that. I'm not a party political animal. And, you know, it isn't to say that any one party is better than another. But what we've got to pray into being is a new mentality. But you see, the mentality in the world around us is dependent upon the mentality in the church. When we have the mentality God wants us to have, and that's happening by his grace, that's what he's working at present, right? That's where we're going in this present phase, then we will be leavened. Light, salt. No, not just us at Kingdom Faith. I mean, this is what God I'm sure we'll be working in other places where people are really open to His Spirit. We might not know of it now, like they may not know what God is doing here in Kingdom Faith, but the Spirit of God is organizing things. And you'll be surprised in a few months' time, you'll find, oh, God's been doing a similar thing here, similar thing there. I've been talking to them about the same issues. Because there's only one Holy Spirit. God's only got one purpose to see how it worked in this nation. But we don't have to be concerned at this point about what is happening elsewhere. We've just got to get the thing right ourselves. I mean, there are a few of us here yesterday morning at the 8 o'clock praying, and nobody was sort of leading it, so I just got up and started to pray. I felt such fire when I was praying. Those of you who were here would know. I mean, couldn't shut me up for 3/4 of an hour. Because, God has ignited something in me in a fresh way. I mean, this isn't just new revelation or something fresh that God is giving revelation. No, He's lighting a fire inside of us. Because motivation comes from what fires you up. And it isn't just sort of having a nice message like this where you see how everything fits together and, yeah, this is what we've got to do. No, it's getting fired up with the vision of what God is doing at this time. So that we see the fulfillment of what He wants to do in the immediate, so He can then take us on to the next stage and the next stage and the next stage and the next stage. I mean, this one of the exciting things for me is this acceleration that is happening. That God, is bringing fresh revelation. Then before we know where we are, that revelation is developing into something more, and then that develops into something more, and there's a whole speeding up process here. It's not like, God says something and we're mulling it over for 2 or 3 months while He's working it out, and then something fresh comes and you're mulling it over for two. No. There's an acceleration now where one revelation is coming on top of another, firing us up, getting us excited, getting us moving, getting us motivated. Hallelujah. And that's got to influence us as a team. Because you see, actually, it's quite difficult to motivate the team. Been here before, heard so much, moved day by day by day by day. But now, come on. God wants to light a fire underneath us. He really does at this time. I think, this happens every year, but I think we sense something special about Faith Camp. Well, let me tell you, there won't be anything special about Faith Camp unless something special happens before Faith Camp. God's not going to turn up suddenly to do something different at Faith Camp just because it's Faith Camp. No, we're going to go into Faith Camp on the back of 3 months of special. Do we have any believers this morning? This is a special time. God is saying special things, challenging things, encouraging things, motivating things. Amen. Things will be different. We will have a great prayer meeting tomorrow night, but somehow it's got to be different from the prayer meetings that we've been having even recently, because God is doing a new thing. Because God is bringing a fresh motivation. Are we ready to do some praying now? Well, let's get to our feet then. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. called, chosen to be part of the kingdom. Come on, the kingdom of God is within you. Yes.
Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus,
Jesus. Come on, Jesus. You don't have a spirit of heaviness. How many times have we sung that song that God has given us a spirit of joy, not a spirit of heaviness? Come on, this is not a heavy thing. Hallelujah. Let that joy kick in right now. Ho ho! This is good. Kurasata parazatuba. Yes, 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 yes. This is good. This is good. This is good. Puparazata pariazeturisatuba. This is good. This is good. Seek first the kingdom. Let the kingdom be your priority. Come on, you can say that. Oh, how do you make the kingdom a priority? Well, first of all, you worship the king. Come on, praise the king. Don't wait for a song. Just praise the king. See yourself standing before the throne. You have access right to that throne of grace. Worship the king. Worship the one who's reigning. Worship the one who's ruling. Hallelujah. He has already overcome the enemy. He has overcome everything that comes against him. He's already won the victory. He is reigning in glory. You belong to the glory because you're part of the kingdom and the kingdom is within you. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. This is good. This is good. This is good. This is freedom. Come on, we're not restricted. We're not held back. There's no limitations. We have broken out of the limitations. We have broken out of all limitations. Oh, there's no restrictions. We're not held back. We're not hemmed in. Oh, all the enemy's restrictions are broken off of you. Praise God. Come on, praise the Lord. Come on, Jesus. Yes. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Seek first. Let the kingdom be your priority. Thank you, Lord, you're ruling and reigning in me. I want you to rule and reign over me, Lord. Oh, I want your kingdom to be my priority in life. That nothing has priority over your kingdom in my life. Oh, paparazatari eleroba. Oh, come on now. Ask Lord, 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 I want that kingdom motivation. I want that kingdom motivation. I want that excitement of the Spirit on the inside of me, Lord. I don't want to just go along with what's happening. I want to be right in the forefront, Lord. I want to be there. I want to be advancing.
I want to be advancing in my spirit. Porazatuba. I want that Holy Spirit excitement, Lord. Oh, what's happened? We don't sound very excited now. Let's stir up that gift. Stir up the gift that is within you. Stir it up. It's there. The Spirit is within you. The kingdom is within you. Stir up the gift that is within you. Come on, it's not that you lack it. You don't lack it. You just got to stir the fire. The fire of the Spirit is there within you. Stir it up. Come on. Stir up the fire. Purata parazata bakarazitoba. Bapa karazato bakarazitoba. Lord, I'm not just going with the flow. I want an advancing mentality. I want advancing mentality, Lord. I don't have an existing mentality. I don't have a casual mentality. I don't have an ought mentality. I have an advancing mentality. Parata parazata bakarazitoba. Baparazata parazito di sato bakarazito ba. O rata pariazato bakarazito ba. Parata parazata bakarazito ba. O ralabazato bakarazito di sato ba. Thank you that your Spirit is leading me, Lord. Thank you that your Spirit is leading me. I'm happy to be led as a son of God by the Spirit of God. I want you to lead me. I want you, Lord, to cause me to advance. Oh, Lord, I want you to be able to lead me much more rapidly. I want that spirit of advancement. I want that spirit of acceleration in my heart, in my spirit, in my life. Oh, rata parazatuba. That, Lord, if I've been walking, now I want to run. And I want to run to win the prize. Pota parazata bakarazito di zatuba. Balata pariazato bakarazito ba. Balata pariazato bakarazito di zatuba. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Oh, yes. Sata parazata parazato bakarazito ba. Oh, Lord, I'm going to see advance. Every week I'm going to see advance. Every week I'm going to see transformation. Every week I'm going to see development. Every week I'm going to see growth. Every week I'm going to see fruitfulness. Paparazata parazatuba. Acceleration, Lord. Acceleration in your purposes in my life. Paparazataria leroba karazituri satuba karazituri sanduma. Balata paria zetu risatu bakarazitu di sanduma. Balata paria zatu bakarazitu di. Yes, come on. Hopa parazatuba. Lord, I'm not going to be distracted. I'm not going to allow the enemy to distract me in any way whatsoever. But Lord, everything in my life I bring under your sovereign rule and reign. Purata paria zetu risatuba. I'm not going to look to the left or the right. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. Fix my eyes on Him, the author and finisher of my faith. I'm going to fix my focus and my concentration on the Holy Spirit to obey what you are saying, Lord, day by day. Light a fire. Light a fresh fire, Lord, in the heart of every member of Kingdom Faith. Oh, ralabazatuba. Oh, ralabazatuba karazito di zatuba. Lord, as the body comes together to pray tomorrow night, light a fire, Lord, in the heart of everyone. Let that fire be stirred up and stoked up and burn up. A fresh fire of motivation. Oh Lord, for you to seek first your kingdom, your glory, your rule, your reign, to see everything in our lives under your sovereignty. Oh, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Paparazata parazato bakarazito ba. Barata pariazato bakarazito ba. We say no, no to any distractions. No, no to every deception. No, no to anything that would seek to hold us back. We say we shall not be held back. We are advancing. We are a determined people. We are the forceful ones that are laying hold of the kingdom. Porazata bakarazito risato ba. Balata pariazato bakarazito ba. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Barata pariazato bakarazito risato ba. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes. Yes. I'm running to win, Lord. I'm running to win. I'm running to win. Come on. Let the Lord know you're running to win. You're going to win the prize. You're going to win the crown. You're not an also run. You're not just going to pad along somewhere in the group. You're running to win. You're going to get that crown. You're going for gold. You're going for the best. Come on. Oh, Lord, I'm not going to miss the crown because I got all comfortable. No, Lord, no. Now, the scripture says an athlete has to be in strict training. You can't win if you're not in strict training. You just don't win anything. You just turn up for the race and you're out of breath halfway through. You're being lapped by everybody else if you're not in training. Oh, so just thank the Lord. Lord, I'm in strict training. I've got a strict spiritual training schedule now. I'm in a training regime, strict training regime. Not a legalistic one. No. It comes out of being motivated. Why? Does the athlete have that strict training schedule? Because he's motivated to win. And it doesn't matter what it costs. If he has to be round that track, if he's a swimmer that has to do 100 lengths a day, whatever, they'll do it. Because they're motivated to win. Now, we're motivated to win, aren't we? We're not losers. There's nobody that's a loser here. You're not a loser. Listen, if you're not a winner, you're a loser. So you've got to make the decision. Either you're a winner or you're a loser. If you're a winner, then you go into strict training to get the win. If you don't do that, okay, you settle for being a loser. Hallelujah. I mean, there's only winners and losers. There isn't anything in between. If you're not a winner, you're a loser. But I don't believe God has called anybody here to be a loser. I don't believe God saves anybody to be a loser. But you see, he puts us on the track of salvation. He says, now run the race. Now get into strict training. It's just being motivated, isn't it? Just saying, well, that isn't anything to do with the Spirit, so that can go. That's got no part of God's purpose in my life, so I don't need to worry about that and get concerned about that. I'm just keeping focused. I'm keeping focused. Are you motivated for the purpose of God? Now, Paul puts it when he says, forgetting what lies behind, I'm reaching out for what lies ahead. I'm straining to take hold of every... Are you straining for that win? You see, the athlete is straining for the win. He's not just sort of running and hoping there's nobody else that's any faster. He's straining for the win. Oh. Paul says he's straining to take hold of everything for which God has taken hold of him. Oh, motivation. Yes. I'm not in survival mentality.
I'm not in casual mentality. I'm not in ought mentality. I'm in advancing mentality. I'm in victorious mentality. He who overcomes will receive the crown of life, the word says. Come on, I'm an overcomer. I'm a winner. I'm not a loser. I'm an overcomer. I'm a winner. I'm someone that's advancing. Oh, rata parazato bakarazito ba. Oh, paparazato parazito risato ba. Oh, paparazato ba. Come on, it's all about motivation, isn't it? It's all about motivation. Puta parazato bariazito risato ba. Yes, soto risataria leto ba. Paparazato ba. Now, the athlete only relaxes. His strict training routine when he's injured. But what does he do if he's injured? He does everything possible to get that injury mended as quickly as possible. Now, as a son of God, you don't have to be held back by any injury. You think there's some injury that's preventing you from advancing. Right now, you can look to the Lord. I'm not just talking about physical healing, you understand. But whatever it is that's going on in your soul, whatever it is that has impinged or seems to be restricting the life of the Spirit, don't feel sorry for yourself because you're injured. Be like the athlete, right? I'm going to get physiotherapy. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get that. I'm going to get whatever is necessary to get back on that track as quick as possible. So thank the Lord you're not an injured person. Right? You're a healed person. Whatever it is that's been seeking to sap your confidence, to undermine your faith, come on, we stand against that. See, injury can do that to an athlete. It can sap his confidence to win because of the injury. But no, we're not allowing anything to destroy our confidence. We're not going to have an injured mentality. We're not going to have an excuse mentality. We're back on the track, running the race, running to win. We're advancing to win. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. We're advancing to win. Yes, soto risato, but we're running to win. Putapare azato bakarazito risato. Thank you, Lord, that whatever those spiritual injuries that have undermined faith, thank you that this morning we stand against those things and we say we are not allowing the enemy to take hold of any of those things to undermine and sap our confidence. We are what you have made us. And we thank you, Lord, that you enable the advance in every one of us. Now, every athlete has a trainer. And what does a trainer do? The trainer pushes the athlete to the limit. The trainer pushes the athlete beyond what the athlete thinks is his limit. The trainer says, no, you can go further. You can go faster. You can do better. And the athlete gets really miffed with the trainer. Sometimes. But the athlete knows the trainer is good for me. I'll never win without the trainer. The trainer will enable me to go beyond myself. As I have understood myself. Yeah, and the trainer might have to do things that are unpopular sometimes. But he's needed. Whether he's a trainer for an individual athlete or for a team, the coach for the team, it's the same. Coach is never satisfied. He said, no, you can do better. But we're already winning, coach. Yeah, but you've got to go on winning and you've got to go even better. There's more in you. There's much more in you than you've already accomplished. Oh, well, coach, I don't feel like that. I'm just content. No, there's more. Come on. There's much more. Hallelujah. When you're leading a church, you're like the coach, you're like the trainer. Say, come on, there's more. Much more. He's there to draw it out of everybody. Yeah, you can do better. You can go further. You can advance. Hallelujah. You see, what the trainer is doing is not just imposing a physical discipline of training. If he's a good trainer, he's all the time aiming at the motivation. Because it's the motivation that will keep the athlete going for gold, going for the best. Poratapakara sitarisan. Baratapari eleto bakarasitari santoma. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sotari sato bakarasitari santoma. See, what motivates you? Your goal. If you don't have any goals, you don't have any motivation. So the trainer sets higher and higher goals for the athlete, for the team, whatever. And then he convinces the athlete, you can do it. You can do it. Saw a good example of this in that movie, The Chariots of Fire. The important role of the trainer. You can do it. You can go. You can win. so we don't listen to the voices of doubt. We don't listen to the distractions of the enemy. No, we're going for gold. We're running to win. We're going for the prize. Everything else will be added to us, personally, corporately. Everything we need, everything we could ever want. God's kingdom purposes. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If it's not part of the training regime, cut it out. It doesn't belong. You don't need it. It's detrimental to your purpose. Hallelujah. Oh, we need to stop. Difficult to stop this morning, just in the flow of something here. But can you just say from my heart to the Holy Spirit, lead me. I want you to lead me into everything that God has planned for me. Into the very best. Into seeing the kingdom first. Into seeing the kingdom purposes fulfilled in my life and in the body to which I belong. Yes, 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 yes. I want you just to pray, just before we finish, pray for everyone who's part of Kingdom Faith. Everyone in the church here, students as they come back next week, all those in relating churches, all those that are covenant members, all those who in any way are influenced by downloading Kingdom Faith material. That everybody connected with Kingdom Faith is going to get fired up with fresh vision, fresh motivation. That a kind of fresh militancy, really. That there's going to be a sort of a fresh intention in prayer, a sort of getting hold of God, and letting God get hold of us in a fresh way. Just pray for anybody that's going to have to go through a shaking process, being shaken out of apathy, being shaken out of comfort, out of their comfort zones. Perhaps getting shaken out of those soulish attitudes and really becoming men and women of the Spirit. Come on, it's time, you see. It's time to be in strict training because the race has begun now. Come on, it's time for the race. We've struck camp. We've crossed over. It's time for the race. It's time to advance. It's time to run, to win. Come on, Jesus. 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 Porata parazata bakarazito ba.
Baratapare azato bakarazito ba. Baratapare azato bakarazito disato ba. Baratapare azato bakarazito disato ba. Baratapare azato bakarazito ba.
Oh. Now thank God you're not a loser. Come on, thank him. You're not a loser. You're a winner. You're not an also-ran. You're not just in the race to make up the numbers. But you're a winner. Hallelujah. Porata parazatu bakarazito. Oh, a winner is the one who reaches the objective. Hallelujah. You're going to reach your objective. But you see, what God is doing is making sure you don't set your objective too low, because he's got a high calling for you. Live up to your high calling, Paul says in Ephesians 4. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, we throw off everything that hinders us so we can live up to our high calling. Thank you, Lord, I got a high calling. I got a calling to advance. I've got a calling to win. I've got a calling to be an overcomer. I've got a calling to bear much lasting fruit for your glory. That's what you've appointed me for, according to your word. So I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you praise, Lord. Come on, let's give him a great big thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, just one thing. Just one more thing. You see, the trainer can't run the race for you. And the motivation that the trainer has to become the motivation in the athlete, so that the athlete has the motivation to win. The athlete has the will to win. The athlete is in strict training to be able to win. Motivation in the trainer becomes the motivator in those he's trained. The motivation in those he's trained. It's exciting, isn't it? Oh, Lord, we just praise you. I just sense, Lord, something new is opening up. And you've been preparing the way. You've been speaking about it. You've been enabling it for the last few months. And we just thank you that in these coming weeks, well, Lord, you're going to blow our minds, really, by what we see you doing. And we just give you glory, Lord. And I thank you that so many people are going to be surprised at themselves. Surprised, really, Lord, at what you are able to do through them. Just through a change of motivation. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Just turn to those around you saying, I'm running to win.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.